राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय जय गोपी जनवाला बा गिरिवर दारी जय यशोदानन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंद ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन ब्रज जन रंजन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय माधवा कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम रम रम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे राम हरे राम रम नितय गौरा हरिबोल 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 नितय गौरा हरिबोल नितय जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवृताचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी जगत गुरु शील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता श्री गदाधर श्रीवासदी गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर नवदीप धाम की जय श्री श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द ब्यूटीफुल लोटस फीट ऑफ श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा ऑल ग्लोरी टू शिला प्रभुपाद ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायात् मुदीरये शृण्वतां स्वकथा कृष्णा पुण्याश्रवणकीर्तना हृदयान्तः सूयभद्राणि विधुनीति सुहृत्सुताम् नाष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमाष्टिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग टेक्स्ट 30, 31 एंड 32 एंड ऑल दीज टेक्स्ट हैव नो पर्पोट नॉट इन दिस वर्जन बट इन श्रीला विश्वनाथ चक्रवर्ती ठाकुर्स सारा अर्थ दर्शनी All of these verses have purports, so I will just refer to those purports. So we'll do text 30 together. Therefore, astu, may it be, me, my, natha, O master, saha, that, bhuri bhaga, Greatest good fortune, bhave, in the birth, atra, this, va, or, anyatra, in some other birth, tu, indeed, va, or, tirascham, among the animals, yena, by which, Aham, I, Ekaha, one, Api, even, Bhavat, or your, Jananam, devotees, Bhutva, becoming, Nisheve, I may fully engage in serving, Tava, your, Padapallavam, lotus feet. Tadastu me natha subhuri bhago. Tadastu me natha subhuri bhago. Bhavetra vanyatra tu vaktirascham. Bhavetra vanyatra tu vattirascham Yenaham ekopi bhava jananam Yenaham ekopi bhava jananam Bhutva nisheve tava pada pallavam Bhutva nisheve tava pada pallavam Tadastu me natha sabhuri bhago Bhavetra vanyatra tu vatirascham Inaham ekopi bhava jananam Bhutva nisheve tava pada pallavam. Please chant.
Tadastumena dasaturi bhago.
Bye.
others. Translation. My dear Lord, I therefore pray to be so fortunate that in this life as Lord Brahma, or in another life, wherever I may take my birth, I may be counted as one of your devotees. I pray that wherever I may be, even among the animal species, I can engage in devotional service to your lotus feet. Please repeat. My dear Lord,
My dear Lord.
I therefore pray
to be so fortunate
that in this life,
as Lord Brahma,
or in another life,
wherever I take my birth,
I may be counted as one of your devotees.
I pray
that wherever I may be,
even among the animal species,
I can engage in devotional service to your lotus feet. Verse 31, I'll just read the translation. O Almighty Lord, how greatly fortunate are the cows and ladies of Vrindavan, the nectar of whose breast milk you have happily drunk to your full satisfaction, taking the form of their calves and children. All the Vedic sacrifices performed from time immemorial up to the present day have not given you as much satisfaction. Text 32. How greatly fortunate are Nand Maharaj, the cowherd men, and all the other inhabitants of Rajabhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune, because the absolute truth, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal supreme Brahman, has become their friend. So the purport is that this translation is quoted from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 6, Text 149. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshu Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpaturu Vyascha Kripa Sindhubayevach Patita Naam Pavne Bhyo Shri Shri Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. So the first verse, my dear Lord, I therefore pray to be so fortunate that in this life as Lord Brahma, or in another life, wherever I may take my birth, I may be counted as one of your devotees. I pray that wherever I may be, even among the animal species, I can engage in devotional service to your lotus feet. So when we hear this prayer of Lord Brahma, immediately in my mind, I thought of the fourth verse of Shishashtakam of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmini janmini ishware bhavatad bhakti ehotuki tvai. That, oh my dear Lord, I do not want good birth, wealth, beautiful men, any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth. And Srila Prabhupada really emphasized this point that doesn't matter where we are at, we need to practice, we need to try to be devotees of Lord Krishna. Whether we are in a very difficult situation or whether we are in a very opulent position. And as we see that even, like Lord Brahma is saying, even if I take birth as an animal, I would like to be counted as one of your devotees. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying, so he says in the purport, Krishna said, O Brahma, crest jewel of all knowers of sadhana and sadhya, practice and goal. What is your desire after describing jnana and bhakti in your prayers? Consider carefully, Brahma, and pray for the most valuable thing. So now Brahma says, indicating himself as a servant, Brahma is replying, O Master, Nath, yes, I have discerned the most auspicious things of all, which is Bhuri Bhaga. Whether I get a high birth as Lord Brahma or a low birth as a deer, for many births with no chance for liberation, since I lose the opportunity to attain bhakti,
I pray to take birth as one of your devotees, either advanced or neophyte. So I was looking at the Krishna book where Srila Prabhupada has discussed this part of the Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada says, he adds a little bit, he says, wherever I may be, so he's adding to the prayers of Lord Brahma, wherever I may be, I pray that I may be engaged in your devotional service. I do not even care what form of life I get in the future, because I can see that even in the form of cows and calves or cowherd boys, the devotees are so fortunate to be always engaged in your transcendental loving service and association. Therefore, I wish to be one of them instead of such an exalted person as I am now, for I am full of ignorance. Because we see in the next verse how the cows and the ladies of the gopis who serve Krishna by giving them their breast milk. So that's why Brahma is saying, even the cows are serving in Vrindavan. So I want to be, if I can become a cow or I can become any animal in Vrindavan, I would like to take that birth. Because later on he says, he prays that if I can become a creeper or a grass in Vrindavan, I would like to get that birth, so that the devotees, the Brajavasis, will walk over me and I can get the dust of their lotus feet. So Srila Vaishnava Chakravarti Thakur further explains what Krishna is telling him. You have described jnana and bhakti in your prayers. So he's given kind of a little outline. He says, the following is an outline of Brahma's prayer. So in the first verse of this chapter, Brahma expressed the excellence of the Lord's sweetness. In the second and 30th verses, he praised the Lord's power, which was a mixture of bhakti and jnana. Then in the third verse, he concludes that bhakti is superior. In the 8th verse, he shows the supremacy of pure bhakti, kevala bhakti, to Krishna. And then he derides the kevala jnana. In 4th and 5th verses, he shows the uselessness of kevala jnana and the success of kevala bhakti. And then he discusses jnana mixed with bhakti. And then he discusses shanta bhakti in the 24th verse. And then he discusses dasya bhakti in this verse, which is 30th verse. Because he's saying, I can, you know, wherever I can be, I can just be a servant. So he's now going to dasya bhakti. And then he's saying that from the next verse on, because Brahma is now submerged in the ocean of Krishna's sweetness, he praises the devotees who are immersed in vatsalya rag, parental love, and other intimate relationships. So, as I just said about the verse of Shikshashtakam, so as we chant every morning, and if we don't, it's very, very, I find in my own sadhana that chanting the verses of Shikshashtakam really evoke and increase the desire to take shelter of the holy name and actually get into the mood of service to Nam Prabhu. And when we have that mood, and when we actually meditate on the verses of Shikshashtakam while we are chanting our japa, we can actually get that understanding that I do not want anything. I do not want, even I can go into the hellish planets, I just want to be able to remember Krishna, and I just want to be able to serve whichever way I can serve. So that can be all of our mood all the time, and that is what Lord Brahma is actually, he's like, because he's our, in our parampara, we are the Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, so we can take that from Lord Brahma's prayers to Krishna in this verse. So as he goes on, in the next two verses, he's actually glorifying the devotees in Vrindavan. And he starts both of these verses with the words, Aho, Aho ti dhanya vraja goramanya. And in the text 32, he says, Aho bhagyam, Aho bhagyam. And Aho is like, you know, if we say in our verse, we would say, OMG, oh my God, oh my God, oh. So he's like expressing so much surprise at the good fortune of the devotees of Vrindavan. So he's saying, how, oh my almighty Lord, how greatly fortunate are the cows and ladies of Vrindavan. And the second verse, he says, how greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men, and all the other inhabitants of Brajabhumi. So now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying that Brahma is praying, I am totally unqualified, but I have prayed to become your devotee. If you wish, you may fulfill it. Certainly it's not proper for me to pray to attain the elevated stage of your devotees engaged in the spontaneous attraction of Vatsalya Bhav and other moods. I can only praise them. And then he's praying, the cows and gopis are supremely fortunate. So the word aho expresses extreme surprise. Because, you know, Brahma is totally, since he was, when he, in this Vimohan Leela, he was doubtful. And then when he saw that all the cows, the calves and the boys were actually Krishna, Krishna expanded himself. So that was, he was so surprised. That's why he's saying, aho, aho. Oh, I'm so surprised. And then he realizes what their fortunate position is. So further, see how we can see Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is actually discerning the mind of Lord Brahma. And so sweetly he's further explained what Lord Brahma's prayers are. You, with your transcendental body full of eternal bliss and knowledge, have taken the form of the cowherd boys and calves to drink the nectarian milk from their mother's breasts with extreme bliss. With each mouthful you experienced ever-increasing bliss. In your form as calves, you could not even tolerate the time it took to milk the cows. Without taking the form of the cowherd boys, it would not have been possible to drink the milk of so many different mothers. O powerful one, you took many forms out of extreme greed to drink. You could not even miss the nectar from one breast. Since they gave you much bliss, there is no doubt that the bodies of the cows and mothers were transcendental, full of eternal knowledge and bliss. All the Vedic sacrifices performed by myself, Shiva and others from time immemorial up to the present day with perfect actions and mantra chanting have not given you as much satisfaction. So, which is what he says, you've not gotten as much satisfaction as all the demigods together have not given you that much satisfaction which you have gotten just by taking the breast milk from these devotees in Vrindavan, the cows and the gopis. So as we see our good fortune, because Lord Brahma is saying how fortunate are the devotees of Vrindavan, and we think of ourselves, our good fortune is that Srila Prabhupada picked us up from this ocean, this vast ocean of nations. And somehow we are able to practice, engage in devotional service. However, one thing which I was reading yesterday, Srila Prabhupada was mentioning in Chaitanya Charitamrita somewhere, in one of the last chapters, that we do not want to show off our good fortune. It within, this is like an intimate part because we are discussing the Bhagavatam, we can see how fortunate we are. But when if we go out and we say, oh, I'm so fortunate, I've gotten the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, or I have gotten Krishna Bhakti, it would be what our acharyas have always condemned, the prakritya sahajiyas, being a sahajiya, and you say, I'm a big devotee, and then you roll in the dust of Vrindavan, and then you cry, and you show all these symptoms, and it is not appreciated at all. And we also know that, like Srila Prabhupada, how many times did he actually say that I am a pure devotee? Or he exhibited those symptoms? Very few times, and even then he would not speak about it. It was because out of sheer ecstasy he was able to exhibit that bhava, but he would not talk about it. So he would actually say that I'll be so fortunate if one of my disciples becomes a pure devotee, then that will help me go back to Godhead, or that will help me become a better devotee. So that's the humility of a pure devotee. And so our good fortune is that Srila Prabhupada brought us to this position, brought us to this place that we could actually think of Krishna, we can actually think of chanting the holy name, because otherwise what's our qualification? Like I was just thinking, I was in India recently, and my brother-in-law, he's as you know as most people are, meat eater and drinks whatever things which we don't drink. And he would tell me that I am a devotee. I am a devotee of Krishna because I chant his name. And he had told me a few times that he was a devotee. And I was like, okay, great that you're chanting. He said, whenever I wake up in the middle of the night, I chant the names of the Lord. And then he has a deity of the Lord in his office, in his workplace. Nobody's allowed to eat meat in the office, which is wonderful. And so there is some hope, of course, there is some hope that Krishna is giving him that intelligence. However, if he keeps saying, I'm a devotee, then he's actually deluding himself. If we keep saying, I'm a big devotee, I'm a good devotee, then we're actually deluding ourselves. Because we know from the examples of our acharyas, they would say, I'm like a worm in stool. The higher, more advanced a devotee is, the more he feels, he actually feels it's a spontaneous thing. It's not that he's making a show. That I really need to be more devoted to the Lord. And being in the Japa retreat and Govardhan retreat in Vrindavan and seeing Sachinandan Swami and all the devotees there, Sachinandan Swami is so elevated and his mood is so humble. So humble, he goes and stays in like little huts, you know, in Vrindavan, in Govardhan or in Varshana. He spent months staying in one of the little places and he doesn't even advertise about it. He just kind of found out, oh, Prabhu Maharaj was staying there. Because a devotee who's more advanced wants to just maintain a low profile. A low profile, as low profile as possible. So, I'll just kind of read the last part of the text 32. Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam, nanda gopa vraja kusham. How greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men and all other inhabitants of Vraja Bhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune because the absolute truth has become their friend. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that after praising the ragatmika vatsalya prem, deep spontaneous parental affection of the Vrajavasis, Brahma glorified those with ragatmika sakhya prem, mitram, and all those relishing intimate relationships with the Lord. So the word anandam indicates Brahman, which is described as Satyam Vijnanam Anandam Brahma. This is in the Brahad Aranyaka Upanishad. The supreme reality is divine knowledge and bliss. And the word Parama is used with it to indicate that Krishna is the basis of Brahman. The word Purnam indicates that Sri Krishna is distinct from the avatar forms who are also Brahma Swarup. Krishna is the friend, but not a temporary friend. He is the eternal friend of Shridham and others. From this eternal friendship, it's also understood that Shridham and others are also eternal. If I make a statement, he's an excellent Brahmana because his Brahmanical qualities are excellent, then the person's excellence is also understood. Similarly, in speaking of the eternality of Krishna's friendships, the friends are also understood to be eternal. This must be explained since the words Mitra connotes simply an ordinary friend. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan ruled by Nanda Maharaj, down to the birds and beasts, were fortunate. What then to speak of Nanda himself and his cowherd men? Who can describe the fortune of those who became the friend of Paramanandam Brahma Sanatanam? It's indescribable. The Gopas themselves say, O Nanda, everyone in Vraja has uncontrollable attraction to your son. And he has natural affection for us. What's the cause? The cause is that Krishna is Purnam Brahma, the complete absolute truth. Therefore, the inhabitants of Vraja give the topmost bliss to Krishna and receive the topmost bliss in return. Witnessing this exchange of love, Lord Brahma repeats the phrase, Aho Bhagyam, twice to indicate his extreme bliss and astonishment. So that's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport. And I will just read part of Srila Prabhupada's commentary on these few verses in the Krishna book. He's kind of summing up, at least that's what I understood. What he's saying is the difference between the pure devotees of Vrindavan and other devotees is that the residents of Vrindavan have no other desire but to be associated with Krishna. Krishna, being very kind to his devotees, fulfills their desire because they always want Krishna's association. The Lord is always prepared to give it to them. The devotees of Vrindavan are also spontaneous lovers. They do not follow the regulative principles. Regulative principles are required for persons who have not achieved the position of transcendental love. So when we have all the rules and regulations, they are there for us to, ultimately we can become spontaneous bhaktas. Like Prabhupada would say, Arjuna never, well, it was not that Arjuna was chanting 16 rounds or 32 rounds. He's actually a pure devotee, so he did not have to follow those regulative principles. Brahma is also a devotee of the Lord, but he is subject to follow the regulative principles. He prays to Krishna to give him the chance to take birth in Vrindavan so that he might be elevated to the platform of spontaneous love. So, since we are talking about Vrindavan in these verses, I just wanted to share a few couple things which when I was in Govardhan, one of them was that we were staying in this ashram which was just like this is Giriraj and this is the ashram, and you go on the terrace and you see the whole ashram, a whole Giriraj, you see him right in front. So it was like you sit on the terrace and you can just chant and Giriraj is right there. It was so amazing. And Satchinandan Swami would be giving class. When he was giving his presentation, we had a big tent and we could see Giriraj when we were listening to Glories of Govardhan. And there was one mantra, one prayer which he would chant every day for 5 days, and I actually wrote it down because I wanted to memorize it. And it had the word Paramananda, which is in the verse today, in verse, I think it's verse 32. Yeah, Paramanandam Purnam Brahma Sanatanam. So I can just share with you this prayer. Mother Madhumati can say along with me because she was there. What is it? Namaste Girirajaya Govardhana Namine Ashesha Klesha Nashaya Paramananda Daine. Oh, Mother Koti Chandra was there too. It was so sweet because he would just raise his arms and say, Namaste Girirajaya. And the Paramananda, that he can give the supreme bliss. He can give the supreme bliss. So as of right now, at least I just came back, so I'm able to have that mood of chanting and praying to Giriraj, and the Giriraj is there. I close my eyes and Giriraj is in front of my eyes. So I just wanted to share with you, so you, if you like, you can chant this prayer and be so close to Vrindavan. And I wanted to share another thing, which when one of those days I kind of skipped one of the classes and went on Parikrama, Govardhan Parikrama, a walking Parikrama, which have taken 4 hours, but 5 hours later I was still not finished. I went with one other devotee from Australia. So we were at Kusum Sarovar. That's where I started from Jatipura, and we were in Kusum Sarovar, and were very tired and couldn't walk anymore. And we came across this small little temple, which was actually closed right next to Kusum Sarovar. And as we were looking, what is in there? And somebody opened the door, and there was this effulgent brahmachari. And turned out this temple has been given to ISKCON. And it's the temple of Radha Bana Bihari. And they had, it was very sweet. And the devotees told us about the pastimes there. And we got this souvenir book, just called The Glories of Kusum Sarovar. So it's the pastime of Krishna becoming a banamali, a gardener. When Radharani went to pick flowers, so he was disguised as a vanamali, and she got, her sari got hooked on a thorn, so he helped her take it off. And then later he went away, and then Krishna, and she was like, who was this gardener? Why am I thinking of him? And her sakhis are trying to get her, and she says, no, I want to go find that gardener. I want to go find that gardener. So they were all collecting flowers for a particular festival, and they all had their flowers in their hand, and they find Krishna. And then they figure out that it is Krishna, and they, all the flowers fell. And then the gopis are saying, what are we going to do with these flowers? We cannot use them for our offering. And Krishna says, well, I can wash them. I'll go to the Yamuna and wash them. And they said, Radharani says, Yamuna is so far away, and I have to go to Varshana. So then Krishna took his flute and dug hole, and then Kusum Sarovar was formed, and he washed the flowers, and then all the other gopis somehow went back to Varshana, and just Lalita and Vishakha and Radharani was there. And Krishna decorated Radharani's hair and braided the flowers into her hair. So, when they found out that it was Krishna, they said, it's not Banamali, it's Banabihari, the lord of the Ban, the lord of the forest. So this temple is called Shishi Radha Banabihari. I got this little sticker. So if you'd like, you can pass it around. It's a very beautiful pastime of Radharani being, her hair is being braided, and Krishna, and she's looking at Krishna in the mirror. She's looking at the mirror, like it seems like she's looking at herself, but she's looking at Krishna. So in the back of this pamphlet, there is this little thing which I would like to share with you and end the class. It says, we hope you enjoy your visit to Kusum Sarovar and Sri Vrindavan Dham, and we pray that the pastimes of Lord Krishna and his holy abode forever reside in your heart. Finally, we would like to share with you the following purport. By desiring to become a grass or creeper, Udhava personifies humility. And in today's, with reference to today's verse, Lord Brahma also, he is desiring to become a grass in Vrindavan. He personifies humility. Tirnadapi Sunichena. In such a state of mind, Udhava chants the Bhagavatam and delivers the Dwarka queens. Actually, in Kusum Sarovar, Udhava is also, there's Udhava Batak where he read the Bhagavatam to the queens of Dwarka after Krishna had left. So that's why they're talking about that. So by arranging Sri Radha's hair, the Supreme Personality of Godhead reveals the essence of pure love. Be the servant of my servant. By chanting the holy names and serving the Vaishnavas, the mirror of the heart is cleansed, Chetudarpan Marjanam. And when one's heart is resplendent like Radharani's mirror, one may see Krishna face to face. I really like that. By chanting the holy names and serving the Vaishnavas, the mirror of the heart is cleansed. So we have the mirror of the heart. And when one's heart is as resplendent like Radharani's mirror, one may see Krishna face to face. Srila Prabhupada says in Vrindavan, the only identity is, I am Krishna's servant. By living in that consciousness, the real, pure, eternal Vrindavan, full of bliss and knowledge, will be yours. Take Vrindavan with you. Just chant Hare Krishna. Wherever there is chanting, there is Vrindavan. Vrindavan is in the heart of his devotee. So, my dear devotees, I pray to you, please bless me that I may carry Vrindavan in my heart and never forget Vrindavan and the mood of surrender, which I kind of tried to imbibe while I was in the Holy Dham. Thank you very much. And if you have any questions or comments.
I have a question.
Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned about the rules and regulations that are always for us, which are striving to get pure devotional service to the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga. So in the spiritual world, there's no chanting of the holy name?
There is a chanting of the holy name.
Not in japa.
There would be japa too, because Krishna is chanting japa as well. However, it is coming spontaneously. Exactly. It is not that you have to get up at 4 o'clock and you have to come to Mangalarti at 4:30. Because we have got so many millions of lifetimes of baggage with us that it doesn't come spontaneously to us. So we have to get rid of that baggage and get rid of that mood of just lazing it out. And so then there are the acharyas. Our acharya, Srila Prabhupada, has given us this, it's like a scheme, you know, a scheme to get us out of this mood of apathy and total laziness. And so that's the plan, so that we can get to that position where we may get to be spontaneously attracted to the holy name.
Thank you.
Yes, Prabhu. Yamaraj Prabhu.
Thank you, Mother, for such a nice class. I was thinking about something you were talking about in terms of the externally doing things. Well, I'll give you an example. In Shruti Kirta's book, Prabhupada, there was this one devotee. He was singing very nicely in the temple room, very beautifully. So Prabhupada said, he says, tell him to shut up. Go down there and tell him to be quiet. Get him out of there. So the point is that I've heard Prabhupada speak about this, that sometimes the externals, they're important, but sometimes you can't go by the externals.
Sometimes you can't what?
Sometimes you cannot just go visually and say, oh, this person is doing this so nicely.
Definitely.
And because the consciousness of the Prabhupada emphasized the consciousness of the person is most important, and the spiritual master and Krishna knows the consciousness of the individual.
That's a very, very, very good point, Prabhu. And actually, I was reminded of two incidents happened while I was doing a small, short braj parikrama. And I was in Baki Bihari temple. We were outside. So there was this one, Saji Sundari and me, we were there. And suddenly the panda started saying something, yelling and screaming. We were just about to take off our shoes. And Baki Bihari Mandir is very, very busy. And this one panda started yelling. There were two Russian devotees. He's saying, yeah. He was saying in Hindi, "Ela bag mein kuch hai, yeh hai, juta hai." So the Russian devotee, she had her bag and she had her shoes in there. I guess she didn't want them to get lost, so she was going to take them inside the temple. And he was yelling, and she didn't know what was going on. So I said, "Oh, take off the shoe, take out the shoe." So she immediately took them out and put them out. But the panda was bad mouthing. "Oh, you put thilak, and you think you're a great devotee." And the thing is that what I felt was, as you're saying this, they are in Vrindavan, they have this, maybe they're born in the holy dham, and they're just, it seems like enviousness, that, oh, you are thinking like big devotees and you don't have this common, instead of being nicely, you know, they could say something very nicely, they just were yelling, and the other panda got involved and they were both yelling, and so I was like, whew. And then we walked to Chirghat, and over there there was one, you know, there are a few pujaris there who are, you tie up and you give some money, you tie a little thing for prayer, for some desire you would like on the tree. And there was some other boy, who, like a young Indian ISKCON devotee, because he had tilak and dhoti and chadar. So this person starts engaging in some conversation with him about japa. Oh, I guess I came into the conversation, and he's like, who chants japa by touching their tongue, by touching their teeth? Nobody chants touching their teeth. And I was like, what is he talking about? Chanting out loud, touching your teeth. And I said, well, we know one person who used to chant out loud. It was Srila Prabhupada. And immediately he became like a terror. He said, oh, I know you're Srila Prabhupada. It was so, I don't even want to repeat what he said, but it was the consciousness with which he said it. And you could tell that they were so envious of ISKCON, the way ISKCON has made so much progress. That's the way I understood. And I just said, I'll touch the dust of your lotus feet. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. I don't want to engage anymore, because he started becoming offensive towards Srila Prabhupada then. So they are there in the holy dham. They are doing the service. So externally they are devotees, but internally, what is their mood? That's something which is really, as you pointed out, that's so important. We have to, externally, we cannot say, oh, we don't care for externals. Because another thing, we were on the train to Jagannath Puri, and I had my tilak on, and the ticket collector came, and as soon as he saw us, I was with my mother and other relatives, he saw me and he said, Radhe, Radhe, Hare Krishna. So it was very nice, you know, somebody who's just stranger, and they remember Krishna by looking at tilak. So externals are important, however, they're not the all in all. That's what it is. That's what we have to remember and understand. And as we are doing the cultivating our internal mood of achieving, going to the stage of prema bhakti, if we keep the externals, the internal will be helping the internals. Because every time somebody sees our tilak or they ask us, what is this? You're able to talk about Krishna. So that helps your internal sadhana because you're talking more and more. As much as possible, we can talk about Krishna. That will help our own progress in Krishna consciousness. So these externals, you wear a sari or you wear a dhoti, somebody will say, what is this? Why are you wearing this? Then you can tell them. Because they have a little purity, they have a little mode of goodness, that's why they'll ask. Because most people will not ask. If somebody asks, it's because they have that Krishna is inspiring within their heart. So, yes, Prabhuji.
They have the same, just in mundane world, act as if and you shall become.
Act as if and you shall become.
So yeah. Similarly, we wear the uniform and then eventually we actually become what the uniform represents. So that's the idea that I think Srila Prabhupada, like he said, when he came to the West, he says, I didn't come to become like you. He came in his dhoti, he came as a Vaishnava, and he came to show us how to act externally. So eventually, internally, we will become that personality. So maybe at first we pretend, but that pretend, just like a little child, they play with toys. They learn the little girl will pretend to cook, but eventually she becomes a good cook. And so similarly for speaking for myself, we play this part and eventually it becomes our natural state of being.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, Prabhu. Back.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the class. I just wanted to ask you a question. When we go on yatras, it seems like we could be immersed in the holy name, and our mood is so perfect, nearly perfect, I should say, compared to what it is here. But then when we come back from the yatra and then we start engaging in our daily activities, slowly that intensity goes away. Do you have... I've only been on a couple of yatras so far, but do you have any suggestions how to retain that mood? Because when you get bombarded with various interactions and activities, it seems like, you know, it becomes very mechanical after a point. Although, you know, I try to go to the temple, associate with devotees, things like that. So do you have any practical suggestions?
Well, for each one of us it's different, our situation, you know, the material situation. For myself, I can say that, or like for you, do you live in Alachua?
No, actually, I'm visiting. I'm from Columbus, Ohio. This is my first
Columbus. Place. Okay. Hare Krishna. What I found is that if we keep on, first of all, we need to take something from the retreat, you know, something from this yatra, whatever attracted you the most. Like in my case, it's Giriraj. And it is the time we had a 12-hour kirtan at Krishna Kund. So of course we need to keep our chanting. We need to keep our chanting. Make it a priority. This is what I get. This is what I got from at least from the Japa retreat, which we have done a few Japa retreats before. But make chanting a priority. Doesn't matter what you're doing. You're chanting, and if you can make it as the top priority of your day, it means in the morning you get up and you chant however many rounds you have pledged to chant, 16 or less, whatever it may be. Chant your japa with the mood that this is the most important thing in my life. This is the most important. So sometimes you might not be able to finish all your japa, but if you make that the top priority, Guaranteed, the yatra, the retreat will stay with you. Because whatever was most prominent in you, whatever caught your heart or touched your heart, bring that to the top of your mind when you're chanting. So if Giriraj attracted you, think of Giriraj, pray to Giriraj, Varshana, Radharani. So pray to them and keep that contact. If you keep that contact and periodically pick up the pictures or pick up the book or pick up whatever you had gotten from there and look at them. And then, of course, you continuously hear also. So hear the Bhagavatam class. If you can't come to the class, hear the tapes. But if that if the chanting is very strong, then it will definitely carry. It'll carry you till the next yatra, or you never go, like we just read. Vrindavan is in the heart of his devotee. Wherever there is chanting, there is Vrindavan. So that's why I wanted to read this last, because it's something which really, I have had this for now 4 weeks, and this is the first time I read it yesterday. And I said, wow, this is so powerful. We have heard about it, but when I read it, like at this point, when I've just come back from the yatra, it's so important that we just carry Vrindavan in our heart. Because wherever we are, in fact, the first time I went with my family to Vrindavan, I came back, I was so happy to be back here, because it was so austere in Vrindavan with the children. I'm running around after them, trying to take care of their needs, and I really didn't even take part in the yatra. I was just so concerned about their safety and well-being and their sickness and health. So I was so happy to be in front of Radhe Shyam, and I was praying, thank you, Radhe Shyam Sundar, for bringing me back. And I was able to carry that, whatever places I had gone to, but I was so glad to be back, so I could just focus on hearing and chanting. that was my first visit when I went with everybody. So I hope it helps. If anybody else would like to contribute.
Thank you.
Madan Mohan Prabhu? No? Okay. Jai. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupad ki jai. Did you want to ask?
I just want to say that I don't think we should feel bad if it took you 5 hours or whatever to go around Bhagavad, because I've also heard it usually takes around 6 hours.
6 hours, okay. I didn't finish in 5 hours. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Jai. I think 4 is when you're really
fast. Right. Jai. Hare Krishna.